Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for the third Sunday of Lent. The opening prayer is this: O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin. Do you know that? Fasting, prayer, almsgiving. Looking outward, not inward. Looking to others rather than ourselves. Fasting. We're saying, I don't need food in the supply that I usually eat. I don't need it to follow the Lord. I want to refine and purify my intentions and my motives. I want to serve God for God's sake. And I take on this discipline of fasting so that I may be more disciplined myself, that I might choose to fast from evil thoughts. I might choose to fast from all those kinds of things. If I learn it in the physical order, by fasting from food, then it becomes easier to fast from those things that are actually evil, things that if I take into myself actually don't bring me spiritual health, but bring me spiritual disease. So allow fasting from food to discipline you, to strengthen you, so that you then have more courage and more strength to resist evil, to turn away from evil, to fast from your favorite evil things. I hate to put it that way, but we all have sins that we just, you know, again and again and again. You've got to break that cycle, and God will help you to do that. But it requires a certain discipline. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy. God will always reach down. God will always forgive. God will always hear our prayer. He will raise us up. He will lift us up. Look graciously on this confession of our lowliness. Please make sure that sometime during Lent you go to confession. Please, in this year of mercy, there is so much grace available to you. Grace is God sharing himself with us. Remember, open your heart. Get on the road. Even if you simply this Lent tackle one sin that you know is a pattern or a habit in your life that needs to be broken, just getting rid of one major sin in your life is going to open you to so much more grace that you're going to be able to overcome a number of things. Go after one of the big ones. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8 and 13 to 15. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And he answered, Here I am. God said, Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your fathers, he continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers, so I know well what they are suffering. Therefore, I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses said to God, "But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' if they ask me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God replied, "I am who am." Then he added, "This is what you shall tell the Israelites. I am sent me to you." He is the fullness of life. The fullness of life. I am. God spoke further to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Thus am I to be remembered through all generations.'" Thus am I to be remembered through all generations. I am your God. Don't let a morning, an evening, a night go by without acknowledging his presence. Draw near to him every moment you have. Draw near. "For the Lord is kind and merciful," says Psalm 103. The Lord is kind and merciful. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger, abounding in kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him." To fear him is to reverence him, to put him first. "So surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him." My goodness, brothers and sisters, take advantage. Draw near. Draw near. The second reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 to 6 and 10 to 12. "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert." Why? Because they got angry with God. God provided for them, but they wanted to get to the land and they wanted to move on. And they turned away from God. They didn't remain faithful. "These things happened as examples for us so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did and suffer death by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down as a warning to us upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall." Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can think, my life's really going well. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm praying every day, and life's just really good. Well, don't... Don't sit back and rest on the good things. What is God asking of you? Don't just say, "Well, that's enough. That's enough for now." I've heard people say that. "Well, I'm not going to be some kind of a zealot, you know. I'll do things, but at my pace. I've done two things. That's enough for this year. I've changed a couple of things." Well, yes, it's very good that you've changed a couple of things, but let's keep going. You have no idea what God has in store for you or how he wants to use you. But if you're not prepared and ready when the time comes, he can't call upon you. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know the hour of our death. Be prepared. Be ready. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's your King. He's your Lord. He's your Father. He's your Savior. Please, brothers and sisters, please. I know I keep saying the same thing every day, and maybe you grow tired of it. But please, please keep moving. Please don't rest. Please don't say, okay, well, I've done enough. Brothers and sisters, the enough is when we're wrapped in the very arms of God and we live in union with God. Then life really begins. And the gospel today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." See, people are alike from the beginning to the end. We think, oh my gosh, they were in that terrible accident. They must have been great sinners. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. He says, simply look at your life and say, if you see a tragedy unfold before you, look at your life and say, am I ready to see God? Am I ready to come before him? And see, we end up judging other people. Oh, well, this must have happened because they did that, or they didn't do this, so they should have done that. And that's why that evil came upon them. Not necessarily, brothers and sisters. Don't try to figure out everybody else's situation. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. Is your heart open to God? Are you growing in virtue? Are you removing by his grace and power certain sins from your life? Are you moving ahead? Are you making a way so that God can walk to you? Make a way for God to enter into your life more fully. Brothers and sisters, Jesus told this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I've come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none, so cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also. I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." Brothers and sisters, you and I could be in that position, that we haven't borne fruit. Perhaps we should be cut down. I beg of you this Lent, turn around, because none of us knows what lies ahead for us. Turn your life around by coming to God and asking him to show you your sin step by step and to give you the grace and the power to change. God desires union with you. He doesn't want you just neat and tidy. That's not it. He wants union with you for all eternity. Our price is allowing him to reform us, to help us get rid of the sin, and to receive the virtue that will make us more and more like him. And hence, one day, union with him forever. Please, make this Lent really count. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.